Donnie Roberts.
And Dr. John Ward.
And our Chris Conway.
And Chris Conway. I don't think I even need to start introducing you. I can just, you can just say your thing.
Yes.
All right. We're floating down the Nile at quite a high rate of speed, I would say.
I would say we're doing at least 15 knots.
15 yes. knots, for those of you who are familiar with maritime terminology. And we're just watching the reflections in the water go by very quickly. And we are on day what?
10?
Of the Exodus Reality Adventure.
10, yes, 10.
Day 10.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's, you know? There's been that many great experiences, it's hard to keep track.
Well, I think this morning's experience is really...
phenomenal.
Phenomenal beyond words.
Yes.
Yes. This morning, as we tried to let you in on last night, today's experience was going to be very different. There was a bit of a surprise for us and for everyone. We were going down to Abu Simbel this morning, and that is the big monument of Ramses II, and right adjacent to it is the monument to Queen Nefertiti.
And Ramses II.
And Ramses II. And today was supposed to be a very, and I'm talking in past tense, and I really shouldn't. Today was quite a...
today is.
Is.
Yes.
An astronomical experience.
Yes. I mean, it's Ramses II's birthday.
It is.
Today we call it the Sun Festival, I believe, if I got that correct. And what we... Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mo coming over to us with a mouthful of toothpaste while brushing his teeth.
Yes, brushing his teeth.
Mumbling something to
he's
us.
He's mumbling something.
Pointing to the window as if we're supposed to know something.
He looks like a mad dog at the moment.
He looks like he's got rabies. So where were we? Ramses II, his
yes.
birthday. Sun Festival. Mo alluded to us that it was going to be busy. We knew it was going to be busy.
Yeah.
But did we have any idea
no.
how
we had
busy?
No idea. We saw the news stories afterward that said that the festival of the rising sun at Ramses II at Abu Simbel had over 10,000 people there.
And I actually believe that
today.
I know
and,
you question that. But
well, you know, it's hard to gauge when you're in the middle of a crowd. But we arrived there, and first thing we noticed were cars and buses and trucks all jammed up, and everybody walking.
Yeah.
And nobody was allowed out on the water. We didn't see any boats out there.
No, there was no.
But everybody walked through the one doorway.
Yes.
One door.
That funneled everybody in the outer area. Into the building and through the building with their tickets to see this event.
Yes.
And there was I have to say, there's probably very little organization put into it.
Yeah. To be fair, they did put a couple of ropes up.
There were a couple of ropes.
A couple of ropes, and I didn't see any stewards.
No.
And
no
the
stewards.
Ropes were pretty much stood on and walked around.
Tramping people.
Trampled.
Up, yeah.
And it was a crush of humanity.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen... First of all, there's two things about this. I've never seen so many Egyptians and Nubian Egyptians all together in one spot. Secondly, all of them seemingly very happy.
Everybody was happy. I mean, there was a bit of shoving and pushing.
Yeah.
Sure.
That was just because
excitement.
Of the sheer volume of people.
Yes.
But there was no one that actually being aggressive, like, get out of my way kind of thing, I want to get through. None of that at all, except for the Germans.
No, exactly. Say no more. The thoughts that were going through my head when we were standing there was what a mockery today made of the West's Armageddon.
Oh, well, it made a complete mockery of it.
Because there was laughter, there was tourists mixed in with Egyptians, and there was no...
Do you know what it really made a mockery of? And I don't mind saying this, actually, on the show as well. It made a mockery of the West's interpretation.
That's what I meant,
of Islam.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Because here we had,
yeah.
I mean, it's fair to say that every single Egyptian, not every single, but most, a good percentage of the Egyptians that were there today, be them Nubian or Egyptian, were of the Islamic faith.
Yeah.
And there they were coming to witness the sunrise of Ramses II's birthday.
Yes.
Which
has a pagan festival.
To do with Islam.
No, it's a pagan festival.
Yeah.
Yet they came there out of respect for their history.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard, and you've heard me talk about it, and today was a very moving day for me because I'm in the midst of all this, the looting after the revolution.
Yeah.
And we hear so much about the Egyptians don't care about their history, they don't care about the antiquity. Well, clearly, evidently, they do.
Yeah.
And today was a clear pointer of
yes.
that.
Yes.
Where you had them just, they were just there enjoying it, and they wanted to be there. And they were forced them to go.
You had thousands upon thousands of people there enjoying that. And it was for just a moment.
Yeah.
Just to see that sunrise
yeah.
and hit the Holy of Holies of that temple. Now, of course, we couldn't all be in there. There were only a handful of people
yeah.
in there, some of the dignitaries, the local dignitaries. But people were all over the place waiting for this to happen. And we do have pictures that we put up on Facebook
yeah.
That you'll be able to access and see.
What I found amazing as well, over 10,000 people there. And because, obviously, we stand out being tourists mm. and... Every couple of minutes, you would hear from a massive crowd, you would hear, "Welcome to Egypt."
Yeah.
Welcome to Egypt.
And it
hello.
Was of different
welcome
people.
To Egypt.
Hello,
and then I would hear amongst that, "Would you like to buy some coffee?" But
yeah.
it wasn't an Egyptian voice, it was an American.
Yes.
And it sounded
really,
very
really.
Similar
to Scotty
Roberts.
Yes. That's another story. Should we
that's
tell
a,
that
that's
story?
That's a whole
you know,
different story.
First, give a little backstory here. Well, about the only life and limb you're going to take into hand is walking through the souk, the marketplace.
Yes.
Where everybody, the last year the line was, "Hi, cowboy, I have something for you. You come and buy. Why you not like me? You
well,
come and like
horse?
Me.
Where's your horse?
Where's your horse? Ha, 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 ha." And then this year, they got pretty down and dirty because, frankly, as we've alluded to, or spoken about at least in two occasions on these updates, is that the Egyptian people, their economy is very hurt by the lack of tourism
yes.
right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. It is.
And the lack of tourism is built mainly upon perception.
Yeah.
That this is an unsafe place to be, and that the people are all out to
well,
cut your head off or something like that.
If I can just cut in there, to put this is a serious point here.
Yeah.
If there was ever a point that a terrorist organization wanted to make maximum impact, maximum
yes.
publicity,
yeah.
today was the day when you had thousands of people,
yeah.
be them Muslim, be them Christian, be them tourist, be them whatever, gathered in one place.
Yeah. And amongst
yes.
them,
and you had the
dignitaries,
you had the ministers,
yes.
you had the ambassadors, you had the ambassadors from foreign countries.
Of course.
It was a prime location.
Of course it was.
And nothing happened.
There was dancing.
There was
music.
The whirling dervishes.
Yes.
yes.
Yeah.
And
stick dancers.
Well, what we were leading up to is the maybe the funnier story of the
yes.
day, is that after a while.
No, that wasn't me.
That wasn't John. We do have an audience here on the boat, and as a matter of fact, it is so windy
yeah.
outside, going down the Nile, going north, which is down the Nile toward Luxor. It is so windy outside; it's incredible.
Do you
we've
have
had
to say
move.
The windy word?
Oh, sorry, it was windy at one other point in here tonight too. And Chris, I wish you all could see this in honor of John Ward.
Yeah.
Chris and I want to do this. Yes. Now, if you couldn't see that, that was the praying mantis.
From Karate Kid.
From Karate Kid.
And I thought you guys were my friends.
We are.
Oh, now.
Which is why we're only telling half the story.
We're only telling half the story. Let's just put it this way. John came rushing into the lower deck, the main room down here, lower decks.
Half the story, you said.
And we're sitting here.
You seem to be recording the entire story.
No, wait. And he walked through the room very quickly, looked at us, smiled, and did the praying mantis. And that's the only part of it that's safe to tell.
Julie,
yes.
compose yourself, please, over there
yes.
in the corner.
Yes. yes. And the rest we'll have to leave for your imagination.
Yes.
And we'll just put it this way. John thought Chris and I were the only two in the room.
Yes.
To display his praying mantis prowess.
Do you have a response, Dr. Ward?
It's a normal bodily function.
The praying mantis...
Yes.
Yes.
So, folks, now, anytime you would like to impress your friends and relatives,
yes.
all you need to, and you've had a rather, let's put it this way, some heavy dinners
yes.
or breakfasts.
Too much coffee.
Too much coffee,
yeah.
perhaps. Things that might, maybe in another setting, might produce bodily
yeah.
gas.
Gas, yes.
You might want to impress them by starting out with the praying mantis.
Yes.
And the praying mantis is, of course, standing on one leg, the other leg bent, and your arms out, and going, "Ho!" and allowing said bodily functions
yes.
to accompany said
I'm
going to
have my own radio show from
but,
now on, I think.
But a piece of advice, though,
yes.
if you're going to do that,
make sure the room is empty.
Make sure there's no ladies in the room.
Or anybody that you don't wish to hear it.
Yes.
Or
experience the most embarrassing
the praying
moment
mantis.
Of my entire
yes.
life.
Yes, yes. as you can imagine, Scotty and I have had great fun about this.
Here, Jules is over in the corner there chuckling.
Yes.
She's chuckling
so,
because she's
giggling.
Her eyes are still burning.
I think they are. So that was John's fun experience today.
Yes.
Mine was actually not in mockery of the Egyptian people at all. It was having fun with the way we get sold to as tourists.
Yeah. Yes.
Anytime you walk through the souk, you are bombarded. There are times we have pulled up to some
yes.
places in our bus, and they are all standing at the door of the bus, outside the bus with their wares, to start really attacking us
yeah.
to sell, to buy something before the bus of the door is even open.
Yeah.
And then they will follow you all around. And I mean, this is indicative of, there's a funny side to it, there's an irritating side to it. There's also a side where you want to pull them aside and say, can I teach you a little something about salesmanship?
Yeah.
Let me look first. Let me get an idea. But you don't even get that opportunity.
No.
And you find that you have to run a gauntlet sometimes to get through. And there's no harm to life or limb. It's just the irritation of having somebody putting a scarf in your face and hanging it in front of your face while you're walking. You say, no, thank you. No, thank you. Really. No, thank you. I don't need it. Lashakran. I don't need it. And then they will come around on the other side of the...
In a pincer movement.
In a pincer movement. Yes, it's almost like a panzer division moving in on you. And the same guy will say, okay, £5.
Yeah.
And you go, no, it's not about price.
I really
don't want one. I have 10 scarves. So it's that kind of a thing. And you have to finally just brush it off.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be mean or irritated because there's that understanding, too, that their economy has been so devastated. There are people just desperate for tourist
sales. So why
did
you steal their business today?
Yeah.
Well, today, we were sitting on the curb. This was after the event, and most of our people had moved on. And we were sitting on the curb. Little Mo said, you sit here and wait. Don't move. Because there were all kinds of people.
Hold the group's coffee.
And we had coffees in a box. And so we're sitting on the curb, and we were musing. John said, I think we've been left.
Yes.
Because this is about a half an hour we were sitting
yeah.
on that curb. And we were looking at the curb and saying, hey, we could build a little business right here.
Yeah.
We could just take the local stone laying there. We could build a little hut, which is what the Egyptians do.
Exactly
yeah.
what they
yeah.
do.
They build a little hut and we could sell something.
Yeah.
We could sell, you know, the things we were wearing, you know. We could sell our clothing or objects on our persons so we could earn money to find bus trip back
yes.
to Luxor
yeah.
because we'd been left. And we had all these coffees sitting there. For the rest of the group, and I said, why don't we just sell the coffee?
And
let's start.
It started as a joke, didn't it?
It started as a joke. And
but now we're millionaires.
Yes.
And then somebody came by and they said, hello, welcome. And I said, would you like to buy some coffee? And he stopped and they talked to us. They wanted pictures with us. And the man actually bought a cup of coffee from me.
No, that wasn't actually true.
No.
He actually gave you a pound.
Because he felt sorry.
He felt sorry for you.
I was offering him the coffee, and this right here.
It was thrown like a beggar in the street.
That was thrown into my hand.
It was thrown at your
And I offered him his coffee, and then he said, no. Didn't want coffee, but he gave me a pound here. An Egyptian pound. So
he felt sorry for me.
He did. The look of sympathy.
He must have felt sorry.
Yeah. And his eyes.
So as we were walking back,
we
said, we're going to go find... Oh, Little Mo finally came and said, why are you still here? Everyone's having coffee. And so we had to walk back. We said, you told us to stay here. He said, no, follow me. And he takes off. So we're following him back, and I've got all the coffees. There's no lids on them. And everybody was passing me in the street, all the Egyptians, and I was selling coffee along the way.
Sure.
And I sold one cup of coffee, and the man took it and gave me a pound for it. And so now I had two. And then he handed the coffee back to me. I said, no, the coffee is yours. And I said, here, take your pound back. I said, it's just having fun. He said, no, and I kept the pound. And then a man from the back of the car came out and offered me some marijuana.
So you actually got £2 for no coffee at all.
The man with the marijuana gave me a pound and then asked if I wanted some marijuana and produced it in the palm of his hand.
So one of the poorest economies in the world at the moment, and you're taking money off them?
Yeah.
For nothing? Is that not a bit
cruel? These guys seem like they had the pound notes to spare.
Well,
or the pounds.
Fair.
So as I proceeded, somewhere along the way, I sold a third cup of coffee.
But you didn't.
You
sell
didn't
a third.
Sell it. You just took the money.
Yeah.
Well, here I said the here have copy.
The first pound was thrown at your feet like a beggar.
Yes.
The second pound was given.
It was
for coffee
not
that
thrown
was
at my feet. It was placed in the palm
it
of my hand.
Like a beggar.
Like a beggar. The first cup of coffee that you did actually sell was returned as 40 goods, but you kept the pound.
See, now if we go to the praying mantis story, I had to rely on fact. Everything that happened that is factual. In this story now, John has to somehow manipulate this story to sound like there was something different going on. I had happy Egyptians, happy to buy my coffee, placing coins in my hand, and then not taking the coffee. So I don't know, maybe they did think I was a beggar. I don't know, I was very well dressed.
I think they felt sorry for me.
Felt sorry for me?
Yeah.
Maybe they thought I'd been parted from my group and
I needed to build
a shanty on the side of the road.
I think they felt that you were one of those, you know.
Beggars. What? What, John?
I can't say this.
What's the derogatory word you
I'm
were
not,
going to use?
No.
The non-PC word you were going
to
use.
No, I was
going
to use a non-PC
But
word.
I have to say that we are such good friends that we did split the money with them.
We did.
They forced me to split the money. After all of this degrading, it was John who said, now, where's our cut?
Exactly.
I said, your cut, you didn't do anything. I was out there selling it. I said, come gather around me. I said, I have the elixir of the gods. It's caffeinated coffee for £1. And I was selling them. I was degraded for it.
We were your groupies.
Upbraided for it.
Yes, we were your groupies.
And then John told me I had to split the money with them.
And thank you very much indeed. I still have the pound coin on my
So I only I have the £1 right there. That's mine. That's
well,
all I have left.
Moving on swiftly, shall we?
Our money was actually a business transaction.
It was actually a business transaction.
So we weren't beggars.
No, we weren't beggars.
We just need to make that
clear.
Just
make that perfectly clear.
Business.
We were not beggars. We were
given
the money.
Yes.
I was Oliver Twist and John was Fagin. We'll just put it that way. My boys, what are my coins?
I don't mind that. I'd say that as a compliment.
Well, there you go. So John is...
So we can call you Oliver from now on, then.
You call me Oliver, I'll call
you
Fagin.
Can I have some more?
More?
That wasn't Oliver's line.
No, that wasn't Oliver's
line. Oh, yeah, that was the other guy's.
Yes. That was the other guy's.
Mr. Bumble.
So...
Mr. Bumble.
Mr. Bumblebee.
Yes. So what did we learn today?
We learned today, if you're going to Abba Simbel during the Sun Festival...
Get there early.
Preferably the day before.
Yes.
Camp out.
Yeah.
Get a front row seat.
Yeah.
Do not move. Take some sandwiches and coffee.
Yes.
With extra cups so you can sell it, and enjoy the festivities. I bet they're still going on now.
We're
near enough near Luxor.
Yeah.
Some people sell coffee today.
Yes.
Just went
through
all that.
It's nice to see Mo's just joined us, and he's now reiterating the story that we've just been through.
Yes, we were just talking about the coffee selling.
Yes.
And you took the rest of the coffees from
me. I threw it away.
Threw it away. You wouldn't let me sell any more coffee.
Because Mo was embarrassed.
We were all embarrassed.
You were acting like a beggar, wasn't he, Mo?
He was like a beggar, wasn't he, Mo?
Yes, of course, folks. They were all so embarrassed for me. But they all wanted a cut of the profits.
Well, I rest my case.
Moving on.
We're like a pharmaceutical company, really.
Yes.
We're embarrassed.
How much profit do you do today?
£3.
Well, you didn't really.
Yes.
You didn't really.
You only had £1.
£1.
That's enough for you.
I
only personally made £1 because they took my other two.
No, we took our investment back.
That's good business for you.
Mo, may I ask, Mo,
yes.
As a businessman, which you are, and you're a very good businessman, how much did you pay for the coffees?
£1.
£1.
You paid £1 for them?
Yes.
Each?
So see, I'm like a corporate mogul.
So you made no money at all.
I used somebody else's investment in the coffee, which didn't cost me a dime. He gave me the coffee out of the goodness of his heart, and I sold the coffee and made full profit.
Yeah,
so I didn't even have a profit margin.
But hang on a minute. Mo bought...
Other than you guys, how many cups did you buy, Mo?
Six.
You bought six cups.
Yes.
I drank a cup. So that leaves four cups. You sold four cups.
He threw three out.
But you made £3.
I made three
so
pounds.
So you are a beggar then?
I'm not a beggar.
Well, where'd you get the money from?
I handed cups of coffee into their hands and they gave them back and gave me a pound.
I'm moving on with this, okay?
Move on.
I'm bored with this.
Move on.
We are near...
Oh, I'm bored with this. No.
We're near Esna.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning, we disembark. The Queen Tai, Dahabir, that has been our home for many a day.
Yes, it's and this place really does feel like home.
It's a sad event. But what
good for me, because I go to see my family tomorrow.
That's nice for you.
Little Mo gets to see his family.
Although Esna's a bit of a jinx place for me.
It is a bit. We're going to keep you away from doors, don't worry.
Yes, away from doors.
Beware the spotted man.
Yes, the spotted man.
Right, so tomorrow, Luxor.
Oh, yes.
The Luxor. End of the trip.
Thebes.
The necropolis of the dead.
Yes. We'll be there for 3 days.
3 days. The city of 1,000 gates, or 100 gates. Depending on which interpretation.
And the city of many houses of millions of years.
Yes. And so tomorrow we start on the West Bank. I believe we're starting with Valley of the Kings.
Yes.
3 tombs there. We're going to stop off for a coffee break in someone's certain house called Howard Carter.
Howard Carter's house. Look up Howard Carter. He's the man who found King Tut's tomb.
Yes. And then afterwards we're doing Hatshepsut, Deir Bahari. And if we can find that indiscriminate tomb of that name, what's his name? Chris.
Hapu.
Chris. What's his
Hapu?
Name? No. He's too important. The other guy. What's his name? The silly little man.
I know he's talking about.
Seni.
Here we go.
Seni coffee seller.
Seni coffee seller. That's a ring about that.
Yeah, it does actually.
Seni.
Architect of some of the most immaculate ancient structures. From 18th Dynasty Egypt.
Right, moving on swiftly.
Also, Grand Vizier to Hatshepsut. Also, hereditary crown prince. Oh, that insignificant little man with 92 royal titles.
Oh, you're referring to Hapu now, are you?
No, I'm referring to Senenmut. Moving on.
So, moving on from Senenmut, we will then have lunch at the Grand Café of Muhammad.
Ah, yes.
We cannot wait. With the 3,000-year-old tree. And where is the Grand Café of Muhammad?
Why, that is right across the... It's not even across. You step out of his open-air café, you're on the dirt, what would be like a dirt alley, that really just connects to the desert. And there, it's right next to Menedat Habu, the temples. The ticket office is there.
I can't believe you're saying this.
And right across the way are the ruins, and I mean this seriously, the ruins of the temple of Amenhotep III.
Amenhotep, son of Hapu.
I get my Amenhotep mixed
God,
up.
My God, man.
There's Amenhotep II, Amenhotep III, Amenhotep, son of Hapu.
Where is the temple of Senenmut? Oh,
didn't have a temple.
He didn't have it, so it could have been that important. So, moving on.
He built everyone else's.
But he didn't have his own temple.
Well, there you go. It shows how humble the man was.
Oh, really?
That is Medina Tabu.
Mo, be quiet. So, now, as we're saying, after lunch, we'll be going to Medina Habu.
Yes.
And after Medina Habu, where are we going?
I have no
the
idea.
Colossi of Memnon.
The Colossi of Memnon.
And after the Colossi of Memnon, then where?
Well, I don't know. You're leading this somewhere.
My house.
Oh, to Stately Ward Manor.
Yes. We're
which is about 10 minutes from the Colossi.
We are going to meet with the veritable, very frightening Dr. Maria Nilsson.
Yes, who will be my boss next week.
She will be indeed. And
yours as well.
She's always my boss. Love you. And then we're going to go and see my horses. And then back to the boat.
And your dog.
And my dog.
His dog, Dr. Carter.
Yes, Carter. Oh, and my daughter. She's going to be there. Bryony. Bryony's there.
She was with us for the first half of the trip, and she went back home with Maria to Luxor.
A couple of days ago. That's the first day.
Yes.
The second day, we will return to the necropolis of the dead, and we're going to go to the tombs of the nobles.
Wow.
Yes.
Rechmer, Senefer, and Ramos. We will then walk casually, but gracefully, across the desert floor.
Over to Deryl Medina.
Where?
Where there is an abandoned village of workers, which I believe fits in very strongly with John's theory of Hapu. For all the fun we have with it.
John's down.
The friendly fire. There is a respect for each other's theories. And I respect John's theory. And
I respect yours.
I see that there are some things that are very efficacious to his theory. One of them is the abandoned village. There's absolutely nothing left there. They didn't find a single bead, they said, within these structures of the workers on these temples. And these were some of the workers from that time period, and they've just disappeared. And the village is left standing. They uncovered this village not long ago. So that would be interesting to see.
But also, more importantly, the temple itself.
The temple itself.
Dedicated to?
Hapu.
Aha! The penny drops.
Yes.
When he was deified with Imhotep.
Yes.
The two great gods of healing.
There you go.
And then where do we go?
I don't know where.
We will then
stop
cross.
Asking. Just say where we're going.
You're supposed to
bullet
be in
pointed.
Charge.
Well,
did you or did you not co-author the book?
I did, but I will always say you'll say where next, and I'll say well to the workers' village. Well, no, not really. It's this is what I was after. John will ask these questions that are leading questions with the answer he wants, and you give the right answer, but it's never right enough.
I love you, brother.
I love you too.
Afterwards, we'll be again gracefully crossing the desert and off to Malkata.
Malkata, Lake Malkata.
And we will traipse our way along the lake, looking at the various different embankments. And then we'll go to Del Shawit, which is just to the north, south of that.
Yes.
We'll look at the ramp of Kom El Samaka, which was the built for the 30th regal year, the Set festival of Amenhotep III.
And let's move on with this very fast because we've only got 4 minutes left in this broadcast.
Okay,
and I did want to bring Chris in.
Yes, come
about
on, Chris.
Some things. Now, remember, Chris came along to be kind of a spiritual side to things.
Yes.
We are one of the few tour... We are the only tour group...
Yes.
...that has along with us a medium who has... Chris is, as you've heard in some of these broadcasts already, had some amazing experiences here. And just tonight before this show, we were doing something...
We thought we would try table tipping. For those that aren't aware of what it is, basically, we ask spirit to come forward and use the energy of the people round the table to make the table go up onto two legs, one legs, in response to questions, etc. Now, a lot of people have the theory that it's people pushing the table or somehow manipulating it. Tonight, we've done a very interesting experiment. The energy was so strong that we thought we would just hover our fingers above the table.
So we weren't literally even touching
yeah.
the table.
And to be fair, at first we were just going to do it for a couple of seconds just to see what kind of response, and it was phenomenal.
14 minutes long it was.
14 minutes we had the table moving underneath our fingers with no
it
one...
It was just gliding.
Yeah, no one touching
tipping
it.
Tipping on two legs.
Yeah, we had it tapping in the middle when we were asking for noises. We had a light at the end of the hallway which was flashing on and off, and it was absolutely phenomenal.
It was, and you know, this is purely... This is about as pure and simple paranormal as it gets.
Yeah.
But what was fascinating to me about this is that we weren't approaching this with that lackadaisical or odd approach to the paranormal. It was one of seeing, because we've done a few readings here here on the boat to see if there was anyone here, and we do get some contact from people.
I must admit, I've never partaken in anything like this before.
No,
but as Chris knows my background, I found it absolutely fascinating. I mean, that table actually moved.
Yeah.
And when we've done the glass actually glided across the table.
Yeah.
It did.
And I mean, many people can say, well, you know, you've got the hands, people are manipulating it and so forth, especially with the glass.
Yeah.
That's all well and good. And I can't be honest on that one.
No,
but with the table, because it was only four of us, it was you, Scotty, myself and Julie. And that table, without any one of us touching it, was going back and fourth.
And it wasn't just a slight movement.
You on that. I just want to say that some of the readings we've been doing with the glass have been contact, and it's making itself very clear that it's something that's from here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something that stays here. Very private.
Yeah.
It's sometimes it wouldn't talk when there were women in the room.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So it was very interesting. We've invited it to stay around and hopefully talk to us again tomorrow.
Yeah.
But because today it was an experiment, wasn't it? It wasn't parlor games. It was a pure and simple experiment from four people who were very respectful, and I think we really got a great response because of that. There was no TV gimmicks. There was no. There was nothing. It was just
the
respect,
four of us around a little table. And on that note, folks, we've got to stop this broadcast for tonight, and we're going to be back tomorrow. We'll report in on all the things that we see, and hopefully some more of some of the work with Chris. So we've got a final dedicatory song for John.
From us.
And you are hearing it building in the background now. And this song will take us out. So, folks, good night for tonight.
John, we love you.
We love you, John.
Thank you.
And as a final homage to John, Chris, everyone. Woo!
That's that note.